Mr.
Hello, WGN listening audience.
Live from the biggest small town in America, it's the Saturday Night Special with Amy Goode.
WGN. It's a Saturday Night Special. I'm Amy Guth. Thanks for being with us tonight and sharing part of your Saturday evening with me. So listen to this. A recent Gallup poll of people around the entire world revealed that Americans are among the most stressed out people on Earth. And that is just the start of it. The poll revealed that we're also experiencing anger, stress, and worry at the highest levels in about a decade. But the findings are not all bad here in the U.S. Despite leading the way and having widespread negative feelings and experiences, Americans also generally reported more positive experiences on average than a lot of the rest of the world. But although we might be leading the way in stress worldwide in 2017, it was the darkest year for humanity in more than a decade, according to this Gallup data. While stress declined globally, anger increased, worry and sadness reached new heights, and feelings of physical pain stayed about as high as ever. Nations in Latin America led the list of countries where positive experiences were the highest, despite the fact that some of the countries that top the list, like El Salvador and Honduras, are home to some of the world's highest murder rates. So what gives? What's happening with this epidemic of stress and other heavy feelings? Is it technology, our always connected culture, and its undercurrent of constantly striving to do more and be more, and our obsession with productivity? Is it that we have more access to information than ever, so life is simply more complicated? Is it all of those things or none of them? We'll talk about it tonight, but whatever the cause, it's certainly not doing us any favors. The medical community widely recognizes the short and long-term impact of stress on our bodies, our minds, and our behaviors, with symptoms like headaches, anxiety, stomach pain, muscle tension, pain, restlessness, angry outbursts, chest pain, lack of motivation, substance abuse, overeating, feelings of overwhelmed, weakened immune systems. The list goes on and on from there. And with language and culture that supports us always doing more, and sometimes it almost seems to punish downtime, where does this even end? We're not going to solve it all tonight, to be sure, but we're going to talk about it, not only stress, but about what we can do about it and try to find some chillness somewhere in our lives, even moment by moment, because our health and our well-being and perhaps even our very lives depend on us bringing it down a notch individually and collectively. Tonight, we'll talk with a mental health professional about the impact of stress on our lives and easy, free things that we can do and steps we can take to get it under control. In addition to how we can start to try to bring a little bit of center and shift culturally to calm our lives. We're also going to be joined by a very special guest co-host tonight. Tiffany Seibert is here. She's a yoga and meditation teacher and founder of Cop to Yoga, who brings small moments of mindfulness and meditation into the Chicago law enforcement community. She'll be with us tonight and we'll talk about her work and its impact. I'm Amy Guth, and that's all coming up tonight on the Saturday Night Special. We'll be right back to get the conversation underway on 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us tonight. That is some good chill music tonight, Ro Coleman. I appreciate all the songs that you play. You have such good taste in music.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Well, so tonight we're not talking about stress. We're talking about what we can do about stress, because a recent Gallup poll that came out, you can read this story at the New York Times. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to tweet this story out so you can read it for yourself. But it turns out we're real stressed out in this country, and we're reporting really, really high levels of worry and pain and anxiety, and it is not helping us. It is hurting us in many ways. Coming up in a little while, we're going to be talking with a mental health professional about the long-term impact of stress. But tonight, we have a very special guest co-host with us. Tiffany Seibert is here in studio. And Tiffany, you founded a really interesting organization. We've talked about it before. This is the first time we've actually met, though. We've talked on the phone here on the station, so longtime listeners may recognize your voice. But you founded an organization called Cop to Yoga that is really, really interesting. If you would share a bit with listeners about that, that'd be great.
Thank you, Amy. It is so great to finally meet you. And thanks again for your kind invitation this evening. It's
certainly
great to be here on the blizzard night.
That's right. I appreciate you braving this weather to come on in.
We're here. Yes, Copt Yoga started in December of 2015 with just a thought of, I'm on my mat. The Chicago police are on the front page of every newspaper and every headline. Violence here every single day. And I thought, gosh, the police really need to do yoga. It's just going to help them so much. And as a result, you know, my district came together and invited me over, and it really was almost like a lab there. And we've expanded the program as it's evolved for the police. So when you and I met here in November, well, mm-hmm. when you invited me to your show in November, we had three districts. We have 14 districts
nice.
Now, so we are, yeah, two-thirds of the way.
Was that initial conversation going into the precinct in your district, was that a hard sell?
It really wasn't.
Okay.
I think the timing was perfect. I really do. And at this point, it's even more prescient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, no, they said, you know, let's give it a try. And so, and the credit goes to them, you know, they've got an open mind, and they said, you know, we're going to try this. And when we first started doing yoga on mats, as you would just typically think of a traditional yoga class, it had to evolve and morph. No one had time for it. You know, these guys are busy. No one has time to change clothes, get on a mat, 40 minutes, all of that stuff. Plus, you've got pain and alignment issues that are just endemic, you know, mm-hmm. within that profession. So we moved it really into what it is now. Roll call. So I'm there in the roll call, meeting the police where they are, you know, literally and figuratively. They're done with the roll call. And then really the lieutenant that's running the roll call says, okay, now it's time to do yoga. So everybody just sits up straight and we start. It's great.
And what does that involve? I'm thinking of, you know, law enforcement, that like vests and heavy things and wearing lots of stuff and weapons and all this stuff at that moment. That's a lot. How do you move around? How do you do all that in that time?
Well, they're seated. So, and they've been seated the entire time. So I'm just telling them to loosen the Velcro on their vest. So we're going for expansion. We do, the curriculum is three breathwork exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going for expansion. So I pretty much explain what we're going to do. We do it. And then I just tell them what we just did. So it's kind of fast up and down. The 7 minutes goes by really quickly. But within that period of time, they're doing the breath work long enough to feel the benefit and to really kind of just shift, to make a shift. So,
yeah. And so how did you get the idea initially that, hey, I can make an impact. Here's what I'm going to do. What was the first seed of that?
It truly was. Hearing about violence on the streets here every single day and thinking, what can I do as a citizen? Just what can I do? Is there something I can do? And my schedule at that point had become really flexible. So I was able to just hop over on a lunch hour and do this and get back. So it became something that I started to fit in and work around. And so I want to just say it was organic and it was simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it was. And it was so simple that a couple of police officers were like, wait, what's your angle here? This can't just be.
There's more to this. What are you doing?
Yeah. No, this is it. Yeah.
And so, what kind of feedback have you gotten from the officers that are in your class?
They really enjoy it. You know, they tell me that it helps relax them, certainly, you know, just because it does. It's your biology.
Sure.
So what it's doing, it's bringing you back to center. But they're also saying that it really sets them up for their shift. So they're thinking it's another reminder to just take time and realize where you are and come back to center. It's only a few breaths away. They also tell me really that if they've gone into more of a tunnel vision, when you're really, really focusing on something, it helps them to avoid that. So, you know, and as you had said before, the headaches, I've heard that whole thing, you know, I start breathing, the headache goes away.
Hmm.
You know, they're doing it with their children, you know, so it's those things. The main thing I think for me is to have them remember to do it. So if they're doing it, then then they're seeing the benefit. So
you're there how often in each different district?
The program is expanding and we're getting more volunteers, but as we get more volunteers, I'm still doing a whole lot of the teaching. So I'm going around to all these different districts and I try to do a couple days in a row, two or three, mm-hmm. On the same shift so that I've got the same people a couple times and new people. So even if I teach 2 days in a row, I'm going to have the same person and I'm going to have a new person. So we're going for repetition and reach. Mm-hmm. And
then you start to see those cumulative benefits of breathing and taking a minute.
Right. And the repetition, I think, is really important, mm-hmm. because this is new to a lot of people. For a lot of the younger guys, it's not, because one of the breathing exercises for sure is something that they're familiar with. We call it warrior breath. It's box breathing, belly breathing, mm-hmm. combat breathing, tactical breathing. So those words resonate with them, but it's the same exact thing. So most of them are really, really open to it. The ones that are maybe a little less open to it, they're still open to it, and most of them do it, and that's great. But, you know, in any group, you're going to have people that say, you know, I'm just really not going to do this.
Yeah, this is not for me. Yeah, sure. But it's really interesting.
Yeah, a lot of them convert. So. Yeah. So that's really nice.
Yeah, mm. for sure. It's so interesting. And I think that's... It's to me a really interesting microcosm, right? That's a really high stress job, and yes. you're around a lot of violent stuff, and you have to make really high pressure decisions that are literally a matter of life and death. Often, and you know that's a lot. That's a lot for one mind and body to take on. That's a lot.
Right.
So I think that's a really interesting, tell about the impact of just the simple act of breathing for 7 minutes.
Right.
Not that that's going to fix all the world's problems, but it sure isn't going to hurt them.
It's not. You know, one of the best things that's actually happened is one of my sergeants is pulling people over and saying, you know, let's just take a couple breaths together, then we'll talk about what
you
did. And that was a dream when I started this, truly. And now, of course, not every officer is doing that.
Sure.
And I can't think that every single situation where you pull somebody over is going to warrant that, you know.
Right. Not everyone's open to a namaste when you're about to get a ticket. Sure. Fair enough.
But, you know, of course, the person that's just gotten pulled over is looking at the cop like he's got three heads.
Mm-hmm.
And but it completely erases that whole line. We're going to breathe together. We're going to just do something that we both do,
mm-hmm.
that has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a cop and you're not, or you're not a cop and I am. So
I wouldn't know what to think if that happened. You know,
yeah.
You get pulled over and your blood pressure goes up and you're gosh, I'm going to get in so much trouble. I can't afford this ticket. What am I going to do? And then suddenly, let's just breathe for a minute. Wait, what? What? Okay,
yeah,
sure. That would be kind of trippy.
Well, you know what? You have to kind of go into trust a little bit.
Yeah.
And that is part of our mission, because we align with the objectives of community policing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those objectives is to bring police officers and the community together in trust and shared concerns. And so it takes a little reach here and a little reach there. And so it's really refreshing, you know.
Yeah. And so when you read about this Gallup poll that I was talking about at the opening of the show about how people are so stressed, you know, you get to see a really, really specific segment of the population and offer a solution of, hey, we can breathe, we can do this before you go out on your shift. And it might chill things out a little, might bring you down a notch, right? It might give you bigger focus or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, when you see this Gallup poll data and that opens up to everybody, not just people in law enforcement, that's talking about every single citizen, where does your mind go first?
Well, I'm one of those people too,
sure.
without question. You know, so I try to mitigate my day. You know, I will have my hand up for having the MSNBC check-in habit, no doubt. But at the same time, you really, you know, you have to temper that with taking care of yourself during the day, doubling down on good, and sometimes tripling down on good.
Yeah,
that's it. You know, really making those big efforts. Because no effort, even Kapta Yoga, it's a small thing, you know, but it's got value.
Sure.
And any sort of effort that you are making for peace is an effort for peace, and it's not for naught, you know?
Right. Sure. Yeah. For sure. Everything. Yeah. Everything counts. We've all got to just right. chip away at this big stress monster, and eventually we'll get there. Well, coming up on the other side of news, we're going to talk with a mental health professional and her view of stress. And we recorded a conversation with her earlier. She's busy tonight, so I grabbed her earlier and asked her some questions. So we're gonna check in with her a little bit and get her view on it, because she had a really interesting thing to say about kind of the long-term impact of stress and things she sees manifesting in our lives. Yeah. And she also, I think, is very aligned, even though she is not a yoga teacher, she's very aligned with your message. Like, you know what? Sometimes the easiest thing, the best thing to do is the thing people resist the most, and that's about breathing. And I thought it was so interesting. She said, but yet all my, you know, so many of my clients resist that urge. Just, no, there's got to be something else. There's got to be key to unlock this mystery.
It's too easy. Right. Yeah.
Right. She's like, no, you really, really, I mean, we're saving her point was like, we're saving our lives. She said, we're not taking the potential fatal impact of stress seriously enough, of like what it's doing to us, which I think is so fascinating for sure.
It is. What I'm finding too, because I've been doing this work in some schools, mm-hmm. not a lot, but if the few that I've worked with is representative at all, children are stressed, way more stressed than we were when we were kids. And
I have some data on that right in front of me. I was looking at this earlier. Stress is a top health concern for U.S. teens between 9th and 12th grade. This is according to some research done by the American Psychological Association, talking about that was one of the top concerns that polling high schoolers. Mm. They were talking about the impact of stress, the impact of technology, of being so visible in a different way than when we were teenagers. I often say, thank God Facebook didn't exist when I was a teenager. But I think there was an interesting discussion around that I found, and it was really about... it was about the idea of what everybody means. You know, if you say, when you're a teenager and you're young, if you say, hey, everybody thinks you're a jerk, right. It's hard to quantify everybody.
And everybody knows that.
And right. And if, you know, as adults, we're like, well, everybody's like you and your family, whatever. You know, that's just your opinion. No one really is thinking, not everybody thinks I'm a jerk. But when you're a teenager and you're like constantly, you know, your life is both online and offline in equal measure, everybody can mean something more impactful. And so it's I think it's a different kind of stress. And I by no means am anti-technology at all. I'm very pro-technology. It does beautiful, wonderful things to connect people around the world, around common interests and things like that. But I also am concerned with like other parts of where that filters into our lives in terms of overwhelm. I think that's so huge.
It is.
And it's not doing us favor. Like, one hand, it's making things so much easier. On the other hand, not so much. So have you done anything around, like there's those meditation apps like Headspace and things like that.
Right.
Have you dealt with any of those?
You know, I've checked into a couple of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at all kinds of things online. And I think it's great. I think it's wonderful that people can just really check in somewhere, and it gives them something to do, especially if they're very tactical and like, I need to get my, you know, meditation app. So, yeah.
And whatever, if you needed to be guided through it, like that's
Whatever works. Part of the reason, too, why I'm on site, and you know why we go to yoga classes that we really love, because we love to be led by mm-hmm. this particular person versus that particular person at this studio versus that. And we pick and choose, you know, at this point. And we've got such a rich choice. But going forward with the police, I can certainly envision, especially in some of the districts where they're saying, we need to get our people out right now. Mm-hmm. We don't have 7 minutes, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So having... you know, this work really sort of built in as part of a culture. It's kind of not a nice to have. It's got to be part of your 8 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it is. Yeah. We are at a point where stress is an epidemic.
Yeah.
And especially in a high pressure job like law enforcement. I just think it's...
Without a doubt.
I'm sure we're going to hear from someone in law enforcement in a minute and say,
So I'm hoping that some of them will take this on, especially some of the folks in the Office of Community Policing.
Yeah.
And just say, okay, the sergeant, you know, Sergeant Jones is coming in to do our breath work tonight. You know, before you go out on your shift.
That'd be kind of... You could, like, deputize people or another...
Well, you know, it's really got to happen.
Yeah.
And people are recognizing the value and taking forward.
So. Yeah, for sure. Well, we're going to check in with, as I said, after news, we're going to check in with a mental health professional about her view of stress, which I think is really, really interesting. And I think it's very aligned with a lot that's going on in your program. But then after that, I want to talk more about Kapha yoga, because I think there's so much there, and there's just so much to unpack there. So I want to talk about that and just the impact of stress on us. But right now, I'm already seeing some messages coming in and a couple of tweets. Where can people go to find out more about your program at Kapha yoga, especially someone in law enforcement who's interested in participating?
Oh, right. KaphaYoga.org.
Easy enough.
And actually, there's a couple of really good things on there. There actually is a clip about, I want to say it's 2.5 minutes, where I just walk my host through a mini curriculum, a mini roll call.
Oh, nice. So you can see what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So even in cops at a very long stoplight,
there you
check
go.
Onto this.
Right. Yeah, you can find the time. You find the time. Very good. Cool. All right. Well, we are talking all about stress tonight, but mostly we're talking about how to mitigate it, how to get it out of our lives, find some chillness, bring it down a notch a little bit. We have a very special co-host tonight, and that is Tiffany Seibert. She is the founder of Kapha Yoga. She'll be hanging out with us in studio tonight. We're going to go to news here real quick. WGN. It's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us tonight and sharing this kind of yucky outside Saturday. We'll be keeping you updated on the weather stuff going on at the top and bottom of every hour when we check in at the WGN newsroom with David Jennings. Keeping you updated on all the weather moving through the area that I think took us all by surprise. Certainly took the White Sox by surprise. But hey, it worked out because here we are now. Instead of you listening to a White Sox game, we're talking about stress tonight. And in particular, we're talking about how to combat stress. We have a special guest with us tonight. We're joined by Tiffany Seibert, who is the founder of Kapha Yoga. She's in studio with us tonight. And we, a little bit earlier today, checked in with a mental health professional. We talked to Paula Harper, who is a clinical social worker and certified sex therapist, about stress and its impact on us. Let's take a listen to what we talked about. Well, I'm interested, Paula, about we all have stress. We all suffer from it in our different ways, and certainly stress is not distributed equally. But nonetheless, I think there are some universal themes, I imagine anyway, about stress and what it's doing to us in the long term. I think we've almost made a joke of it at this point, where we say, "Oh, I'm so stressed out," and when we see our friends, we say, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm so crazy busy and so stressed out." So what is really happening to us when we're under stress for a long period of time?
There's good stress and bad. So the good stress and the bad stress can do exactly the same thing to our body. So that's a piece that we have to think about. You know, the excitement of a new romance, starting a new position, having a baby, making a change of any kind is going to create stress. So just recognizing what it is and that it's there, because we've kind of become a culture where we're walking around in a chronic state of stress. And without something that is intentional to counteract it, then we are in constant fight or flight mode. We might not notice it, and we might notice it and be very energized by it, but that doesn't mean it's good for us. There's got to be that when we get someplace where we can kind of relax. And many people, my son is turning 50 this year, he doesn't know that without intentionally going out and grabbing him, because he's a young dad with 3 kids in the household and a dog and a wife and a car, you know, all the stuff. So understanding that there are negative chemicals that are coming up as a result of that stress, good or bad, means what we have got to learn to do is somehow find our personal way of managing it. And the simplest thing is the one no one wants to believe. It's breathing. So people find breathing many different ways. The runners run hard, make themselves breathe. People that sing calm themselves down because they have to stay in a cadence with something. Other people will meditate or do yoga, or exercise a lot at the gym, or, you know, just whatever it is, go for a walk, look at the sun, the sky, the moon. Just investigate something that is appealing and get your mind in a place where it's more or less in neutral. That then gets us to a point where we can begin to use the opposing chemistry that comes up. And that is what makes us feel good. So the balance on it is famous with everything else. You know, you've got to have so much energy in and so much energy out, or something fails in one direction or the other. And stress in particular has been identified in our culture as something that's good. You know, keep yourself going, peak performance, peak experiences, get out there and have a great day. Just do it. All that's good as long as there's some balance to it.
Right. And I think we're so obsessed with productivity to the point that we almost pin our value to it. You know, there's so many blogs and so many systems always touting different methods of productivity and new ways to, you know, even the language around productivity sometimes is kind of violent, right? It's about crush it and kill it and things like that are like, well, wait a minute, that's my adrenal glands we're talking about, you know, and I wonder about, I'm sure that our kind of cultural obsession with productivity plays a big role in this. But you said something really interesting that I want to go back to, and that was the role of positive stress, which is so interesting, right? Like sometimes there are things that are really positive and exciting in our lives, but they're an adjustment. They're a thing, they're a stressor. And I think we don't necessarily recognize those as a thing you want to take a timeout from or a thing that you, you know, feel like you need to hit pause on. And yet that's a really great reminder to, hey, this is exciting, but it's also a lot.
Exactly. And I think we've just gotten ourselves acclimated because of all the technology in life and the fact that we now change focus so quickly. There's not such a thing as multitasking. What we are doing is changing our focus faster and faster and faster. So that wears people out. You know, it takes time and energy to do that. And when you're trying to watch three screens at the same time, or file something while you're scratching around your purse looking for something else and driving the car all at the same time, this is holding your body at that high level of preparedness for everything that could go wrong on any of those levels. That creates the negative chemistry. That creates the part that can be destructive. And what happens then is people will do things to calm themselves that aren't very good.
So that's when we
food they don't need.
Right.
Yeah, we go overboard with food. We're pushing ourselves in terms of health, and that can be on every front. And it can have terrible, terrible effects on your body. There's a study out, I'm not sure who did it, but it references the fact that 2 years after a stressful incident in a person's life, particularly a death, it's frequent that that person who's experienced the loss will have some health issue of their own. So it's a time that's 2 years out. So imagine if we can take that long to manifest, how much longer we should be trying to counterbalance it and take care of ourselves so we don't have that problem.
And that's so fascinating to think about, that we are that, you know, we think of ourselves as being so resilient, like, well, I got through it. You know, I made it today.
Yeah.
It was really stressful, but I made it. And even, you know, you mentioned some of the coping behaviors that people turn to. I think this is a future show topic that I notice more and more. We make jokes, I think, especially for women, but more and more, it seems like a light joke to talk about, coping through drinking. You know, there's like I saw in a store recently, there was a wine glass that said, long day, it's wine o'clock. And I thought, gosh, yes, I get that for sure. But also, that's interesting that we're in this cultural moment that we're so stressed that even, you know, our coping mechanisms are kind of so widely recognized that they're considered a joke.
Well, and it turns into an emotional issue.
Yeah.
On some level, we know we can't do it. On some level, we know it's costing us a lot. So what we do then is use exactly those coping mechanisms and let them go rampant as a means of just getting to the same place that we can get to by using breath work.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just too simple. People will not believe it. Matthew McKay is someone who has written an interesting book. He was one of, I think, five different authors that did this book. It was a stress reduction workbook. And in it, he did a matrix of the chapter headings and people's complaints and gave a capital X for the most effective. And for everything that had anything to do with chronic stress and anxiety, the capital was breathing. The first choice of treatment is the simplest. And I have been practicing for 40 years, and I cannot get people to believe that at all. They just don't believe it.
And what do you think that is?
I think the sense of being overwhelmed is just so great. The person has kind of lost their belief in their individual ability to do anything about it. I'll tell you a story about a client from years ago. One had high levels of anxiety and had to drive in on the freeway every morning and was very concerned that she would have a panic attack. So one day when we were in session, she said to me something about driving on the side of the road. So she didn't hurt anybody when she had her panic attack or passed out. And I said, well, have you ever had a panic attack in the car or passed out in the car? No, but I'm afraid I will. So I asked her if she had a CD player, and she did. And I said, in the morning, I knew she liked rock music. So in the morning, I want you to get in your car, roll up the windows, put that radio on as loud as you can, or your CD on as loud as you can, and sing out loud all the way to work. I know you're going to feel silly, but I want you to do this for me. Just do this one silly thing for me. And the next time she walked in my office, she said, you're brilliant. And I said, no, I'm not brilliant. I just got you to breathe.
Hmm. In a way that worked for her.
In a way that worked for her, yes. So we can find it. It's out there. And it could be that you just take 10 deep breaths. It could be that you do any of those other activities that are more formal. It could be that you lock yourself in a closet somewhere and turn the light out and breathe for a moment. It really doesn't matter. But we can do a tremendous amount for our bodies and our emotional state if we will do that. And it's way less damaging than a lot of the other maladaptive things that are being used to try to compensate for that sense of I'm pushed and stressed too much. I'm pushed too hard.
That was a conversation I had a little bit earlier with Paula Harper, who is a therapist and a clinical social worker, all about stress, because that's what we're talking about tonight, is stress. Not just stress, though, about how to beat it. What do we do? We're all real stressed, right? There's a lot of stress in the world. It's a different time. Lots of information coming at us at all directions, and lots of violence every day around us. So we are talking all about that. So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I want you to hear a little bit more of that conversation with Paula Harper, and then we will come back to our conversation that we're having with our special guest co-host tonight. That's Tiffany Seibert, who is the founder of Cop to Yoga. More on that in just a bit here on 720 WGN. WGN. It's Amy Guth, and this is a Saturday Night Special. We've been talking tonight about stress and its impact on us and what in the heck we can do about it. Because as ever, we take one topic and we just start pulling at some threads of it and see where we land, see what happens, and it usually becomes a much bigger topic. We have a special guest co-host tonight. We're hanging out with Tiffany Seibert. She's the founder of Cop to Yoga. But a little bit earlier, I had a conversation with Paula Harper, who is a clinical social worker and certified sex therapist, about the impact of stress on us. And I want to play part two of that conversation for you. Because we have all this chronic stress in our lives, and we tend to kind of prize it culturally. I mean, when we think about who the business heroes are right now, and the people that are even not necessarily heroes, the people that are just interesting people that we talk about a lot. You know, I'm thinking in particular about Elon Musk, who openly brags about how burned out he is and how much he, you know, is so obsessed with work and is such a workaholic. And I, that really stuck with me when he was talking about that so openly, even though he was talking about being burned out in the same breath. I think that's so fascinating. What, from your point of view, and with your expertise, what do you think where do we need to get to culturally? How do we even make that shift to being in a place where we aren't so obsessed with busyness, and where being, you know, answering how are you with I'm crazy busy isn't a normal thing? How can we even begin to tackle that when it's so deeply ingrained in our culture?
Well, a word is mindfulness. And that one's gotten a lot of use and overuse lately. But what it really means is to be very aware of the moment, this moment. Isolate this moment. And we've been sold a bill of goods about what all we can do. We cannot do all this all at once, all the time, at the highest competitive levels. We just cannot do it. So bodies break down when that happens. So if we can pull back in five small arenas and say, you know, I'm going to give myself 1 minute each day to rest. Just somewhere during the course of my day, I'm going to stop for one moment and just savor the sense of resting right here, right now. Maybe I'll take another minute in my day and do five deep breaths. Maybe I'll see if there's something I can attend to in terms of gratitude, because gratitude really helps you calm yourself down when you take a look at what you have done and accomplished how healthy you are, what a good life you're living, or steps that you're taking to get there. And be ever mindful. With that going on in the background, it does help create the balance. When people get so stressed, I've seen people so stressed, they simply shut down. I've seen very high-powered people who cannot speak because they just begin too stressed out and everything shut down at once. I know someone personally who just went through 5.5 weeks in intensive care with a heart attack and surgery. Lived that same kind of life that we've been talking about, peak stuff all the time. And that bodies can't take that forever. We think they can. We hope they will. But the truth of it is, we cannot. So at some point in time, there's that tilt. And without those compensatory things that are healthier for us, the tilt is going to be much more difficult to overcome.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. And it you know, I worry about even how our language is. And I read with, with great interest recently, France started putting forth legislation about how you can't email colleagues after business hours, which I thought was so fascinating. And I thought, oh my gosh, that would never fly here, at least not the moment that we're in, because we are so obsessed with being productive and how much you can take. And we even say things to each other like, oh my gosh, you do so much. When do you sleep? And I just think that scares me when I hear people say that. It's really fascinating.
It is, I think, a significant difficulty in our culture at this time. When we are witness to other cultures, it kind of feels good. When you go away on vacation, you go to another country where that is not the focus, or put yourself in a situation where that isn't the goal, where the goal is now to do just as much relaxing as you do production. Be as productive at relaxing as you are at work. That feels so much better. But we've got a business culture that is not doing anything to endorse or support that at this point, and nor is it saying go at a pace that's reasonably comfortable for you. It's extremely competitive these days. And because it's competitive, at such a higher level because of all the technology we've got that can allow that to happen and can take actions on our behalf, I think what's going to have to come about some way, someday, and how that's going to be, I don't know. But it will have to take some peaceful place in there where it's not quite that intense for people not to continue to be failing at the rate they are. And we've got the biggest section of the population now, baby boomers, getting to retirement, and they're going to crash and burn if they haven't already. And it seems to me, and this is just anecdotal, that at about 40, is somewhere between 40 and 50 is when people have their first health issue. And when you take a look at the 10 years preceding that, what has been going on? Another example, I believe, of the price that stress is extracting from us. And if what we could do would be take a closer look at our own value system and say, what is important to me? At the end of the day, at the end of my life, at the end of this run, if I was going to die tomorrow, would what I'm about to do be worth doing? And maybe it wouldn't be all the time. Maybe it wouldn't be quite as much all the time. Maybe it would be something that could be toned down just a little bit to the essentials that are crucial for us and our well-being. Until we get that message in our heads on an individual basis and see, really understand, and a lot of times it takes being hit with an illness personally to understand that this can and does happen, and it can and is life-threatening. It's hard to get that other picture to come into focus because there's so much clamor in the entirety of our culture for something else. So little tiny things that we can do individually, I think, will add up and help protect and preserve us. If the whole culture decided to do that, it would be a wonderful thing. But I don't believe that's going to happen in my lifetime. Maybe it will in yours. I hope so.
We shall see. I'm not sure. I don't have really high hopes. I do think it's interesting, though, how different age groups have been hit with stress and talk about stress. My grandfather lived a very, very long life, and I asked him many times about his secret to longevity. And he just passed a year ago, February, but he said he would always tell me, you know, it's about you have to grow as much of your own food as you can, or at least know who grew it. You have to take a nap every day, and you always have to be learning something new. And I never remember seeing my grandfather stress. You know, we had, you know, family things happen, people die, things happen, and that would be an acute point of stress, but never was he under chronic stress. He just kind of always took it moment by moment. And I think there was, I think about that often when I'm under stress. I think, you know what, my grandfather, he would not be reacting like this. He would be dialing it back a little bit. So I think there's some lessons there for sure.
But even the industry you're in, this is an industry that is timed to the second. So that in and of itself is stressful. You know, you can't just think about it and come up with your response later. You've got to do it in whatever time frame you've been assigned. And my husband was in the media, so I understand that totally. And he really appreciated the time when he was not on the air, because it allowed him not to have to be so hypervigilant to the clock.
Yeah, that's very, very true. That's something I've been thinking about a lot, especially in the political climate. I think no matter how you voted, I think we can all agree that it's been a really, it's a different time. It's a different era. There's a lot of information coming at us really fast. And I think a lot of us are thinking about big picture, immediate picture, like a lot of different levels all at once. And there's a lot to it. And I think as great as technology can be, sometimes I think you're exactly right that it does speed things up, and it does put a sense of immediacy. Now, we do see things like Headspace and like meditation apps, which I'm happy to see, and I hope people are using them. But I think you're right. I think there's nothing quite like stopping and taking a breath.
Stop and smell the roses.
That's right. That's
right. Once a day. For your grandpa.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what he would say for sure. Yeah.
Oh.
That was a conversation that I had a little bit earlier today with Paula Harper, who is a clinical social worker and a certified sex therapist, all about stress. And I think, you know, she had some really, really great, great points there that I think are so very important. We're going to head to news here in a second, but when we come back, we are going to be talking with our special guest co-host tonight, and that is Tiffany Seibert. She's the founder of Cop to Yoga. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to be tweeting out links to the program and all the cool things that she does with law enforcement here in Chicago. But now, well, in a couple seconds, it's seconds away from being 8 o'clock. So we'll go there here in a second and check in with David Jennings. But again, follow me on Twitter, and I'll be sure and tweet all that stuff out so you can see for yourself, because I'm getting your messages saying, where do I find out more? That's where. Follow me on Twitter. I'll tweet it all out. WGN 720. It's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us tonight. Well, as ever, we take one big topic and we talk about different aspects of it all evening long. And tonight, that topic is about stress, because if you are a New York Times reader, you probably read their story recently about a new Gallup poll that says Americans are among the most stressed people in the world. That's including people in very violent areas and war-torn countries. We here in this country report right now a lot of very high stress and anxiety and worry and anger and fear and sadness. There's a lot of really heavy emotions that Americans are carrying around. So we've been talking a little bit about why that might be. But you know what? At the end of the day, the why doesn't matter so much as what we're doing to combat it. Because I think we can all agree, the medical community agrees, we all know that when we're stressed out, we don't feel our best. Our immune system goes down. We have a headache. We're stressed. Our brows are all scrunched up. Our shoulders are hunched. We're not living our best life, that's for sure. So we have been talking about stress tonight, and we have a special guest co-host with us tonight, and that is Tiffany Seibert, who is the founder of Cop to Yoga, which is a really interesting program. You can go to cop2yoga.org, read all about it, or if you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to tweet out links to it and lots of cool stuff that she's working on through that program, and you can learn all about that. What I think is so interesting, Tiffany, is that you took, you know,
just a simple act of yoga and meditation and breathing, a thing we all do all the time. And yet, you know, it seems too good to be true. It seems too simple that, oh, I've got to do something bigger than that. I'm so stressed out and so overwhelmed. No, start with breathing. Start there. And especially, I think it's interesting to look at the work that you're doing through your organization and broaden it beyond just law enforcement, because there's a lot of professions that are really high stress. I'm thinking of the medical community. I'm thinking of, you know, even some journalists that are regularly exposed to very violent crime and seeing a lot of people on the worst day of their lives.
Right.
A lot of things like that, where I think it's, you know, we're not maybe talking enough about the stress that comes along with those professions. And I think there's, and you tell me if you've seen this, but my hunch is that there's probably like a, because it's a service-oriented role in law enforcement and things like that, there's probably a reluctance to complain about it. There's probably a sense of like, I've just seen people in way worse shape. I've got pretty good. I'm not going to gripe. That's my hunch anyway.
Yeah. I feel like they see so much, and it's, I would imagine that it's hard for them at a certain point to say, okay, what is too much? Where's mm-hmm. that line? Because it keeps getting pushed and pushed and pushed sure. and pushed. So recognizing that you are in service, number one, and that you really can't be in service unless you're all there yourself. So where this comes from is you matter first so that you can then be in service. So
you can't pour from an empty cup.
You can't.
It's that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is coming from the inside out, bringing themselves into alignment physically, emotionally, mentally, everywhere, right? So that they are back to center and can fully focus on the piece.
Yeah. Right. You know, and I think this topic in particular, to bring it back into specifically around law enforcement, there's a conversation around it, but probably not enough conversation around it. The amount of focus we're putting on, and we need to put more on mental health and law enforcement. We've yeah. seen some officers take their own lives. We've seen, in fact, WGN TV earlier this year did a very big report on this based on some data from the Ruderman Family Foundation. They did this big report. It was, you know, commissioned by this foundation that found that police officers are more likely to die by suicide than in the line of duty, which is such a, you know, it's such a fascinating thing. You can't even get your head around that because you think about this kind of, you know, responding to an incident and having to potentially draw a weapon or fire a weapon or having a weapon fired at you. I mean, there's a lot going on there. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, you know, more likely to die by your own hand than, you know, than in the line of duty is tells me we're just not talking about that enough, and the impact of PTSD and things like that. And so, you know, where I'm sure this is your work and your organization has, I'm sure you've seen this more than any, you know, more than anyone who's not in law enforcement themselves, other than maybe a spouse of someone who's in law enforcement.
Right. Yeah. The focus definitely, as you had said, since in Chicago, and well, the Chicago Police Department has a higher than the national average percentage of suicide. So it's a real issue for them. And I think that as a result of what has really gone on over the last 18 months, it's been very, very difficult. And so the focus is on wellness and mental health, period, as a priority. And the CPD, I think, is committed to that. They're working together with the University of Chicago Crime Lab. They're convening a summit in June here to discuss exactly that, wellness, mental health, suicide prevention, officer resilience, peer support. And they're bringing national experts on site to discuss the findings from their research. There will be people from CPD, from the command force, from also the counselors. And they're going to just discuss exactly what's been going on and review the programs and talk about the best solutions to some of the most pressing challenges facing law enforcement today. I think at the conclusion of this, they're going to submit their findings to Superintendent Johnson so that they can review current offerings and identify opportunities for new programming and services, because it's something they're taking very, very seriously, period.
Yeah. In this report that I mentioned from that was commissioned by the Ruderman Family Foundation, the report reveals that the rate of PTSD and depression for not just police, but also firefighters being exposed. This the phrase they use in the report is cumulative exposure.
Yes.
A lot of being exposed again and again and again to trauma, accidents, shootings, all of these things. The report revealed that the rate of PTSD and depression for police and firefighters is five times higher than the civilian population.
Wow.
And as you noted, you know, more we're seeing more of that in Chicago than in other law enforcement or, you know, areas of the country. That's significant. That's a big deal. That's, I mean, that's a lot. So are you in touch with other, I know you focus just here on Chicago, but are you, I'm sure, have heard from other law enforcement agencies elsewhere in the world, in the country, about programs they're doing?
I have. Specifically someone in Kansas City who has a program. It's a pretty heavy duty meditation program. So she's not going into roll calls. She's really giving off-site classes. So, but having said that, there are police officers that are doing that. There's also the commander in Tempe, Arizona, who has a meditation program on site there. So she's running that. So I've been in touch with, you know, with a number of people, and actually just someone from one of the suburbs here has contacted me recently. So we've got people that are working in pockets, I think, everywhere. Sure. And doing good work. Everything is a little bit different. It's got a little spin on it. Kapti Yoga is, it's pretty unique in that we are joining yoga teachers on site in the roll calls in their own districts, right, to share evidence-based yoga breathwork technology that the cops can just take with them. It's very easy, very quick, very community-oriented. And that's been really successful. The fact that it's volunteer and that it's going to remain volunteer, I think, is really key. You know, it's about community relationship building and understanding that you're just dealing with a person that just happens to have this particular job. Mm-hmm. That's their role, you know. All the world's a stage, right? We all play our part. And
sure.
So that's what that is. It's nothing more, it's nothing less. Just like, you know, I used to be a banker. Okay, I'm not anymore.
You were. You know? You were a banker.
I had a 30-year career in banking.
Is that right?
I did. So, but, you know, human beings are all underneath all of that. And so understanding that this is really, it's Kapti Yoga, just Kapti the fact that we're all connected. That's truly where that comes from. It just happens to be, you know, we're working with law enforcement as a primary partnership, you know, so, but we, what you had said, I mean, we've worked with nurses, with some school kids, and everybody, you know, the New York Times is right. We're all stressed out.
Yeah.
Everybody, it doesn't matter.
Pick
a group, they're stressed.
Sure. And you know, as I said earlier in the show, stress isn't necessarily distributed equally, even though we're all feeling it. I think culturally, we're in that moment where we're so hyperconnected. There's a lot of pressure to, I don't know, crush it. And all the words we use about productivity that are kind of violent, really, you know. There's a lot of pressure on a lot of people, but it's not distributed equally. There's a lot, there's factors, you know, that just systemic factors, right, that are against people that, like, there's just stuff. I think there's a lot of stuff on people's minds. And we're, it seems anyway, like we're in a moment politically, culturally, socially, where we're starting to have conversations out in the open that we weren't having for a long time, or that we maybe were only having behind closed doors. I'm thinking like the Me Too movement, things like that, right? We're starting to have these kind of conversations. We're starting to say, hey, we have different stresses. Stress is not identical to everybody, which I think is a whole other factor. When you start factoring in like gender and race on top of a stressful job, then that's its own thing.
Exactly. And social media playing a part, especially for a group of kids between 9th and 12th grade, right? High school kids that...
Social media stresses me out all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been like a big project that I've been at for the last few years is talking about the impact of abuse and harassment and documenting that. And it's fascinating because even just keeping on top of that topic when it's moving so fast
is a full-time job.
In and of itself is a stressful act, which is... I'm committed to doing it, but it's also because it's so important. But just taking that one piece of like abuse and harassment and how that plays out and impacts people professionally, not just young people, but people of all ages, women. And I think it's really fascinating. And all of it moves so quickly. I think stress is a moving target. And sometimes we don't even know the source of it, which I think is the danger of online. And again, I'm very pro technology, but when you don't necessarily know the source of the person sending you at the best case scenario, just kind of some ill wishes. Sometimes it's really violent threats, things like that.
Yeah.
That's its own ball of wax. That's its own thing.
Right. And with the kids too, that don't have the, you know, the depth of experience to right. recognize things for what they are.
Sure.
Right? You know, it's synthetic stress.
That's
so it's a derivative. and they don't know better. You know, like you said, everybody knows there's, you know, everybody's doing this. Who's their everybody?
Yeah, who's everybody?
And, yeah, right. And so it makes you look back and to come back to center, how important that is, to realize how important that is. And as Paula said something, what was she saying? Intentional. Mm-hmm. Really taking the intentional steps to stop and breathe, stop and take care of yourself, and realize that it's not a crack of thunder, you know, coming down saying, okay, now you're not stressed anymore, you know?
Right. Stress is subtle and de-stressing is subtle.
Yeah.
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 Well, we got to take a little break, but when we come back, I want to talk about how, because it's not just law enforcement and right. nursing and high stakes, you know, life and death kind of professions. It's feeling stress. Stress is everywhere. There's a lot of pressure on a lot of people to do a lot of things right now. So I want to talk about the how and how we can find some chillness in our lives. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Tiffany Seibert, founder of Copta Yoga, back in just a bit on 720 WGN. WGN. It's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us tonight. Appreciate you for tuning in on this kind of dreary and unexpectedly cold weather night. Again, we're going to keep you up to date on the weather at the top and bottom of every hour, checking in with David Jennings in the newsroom for sure. But tonight, as ever, we take one topic and we follow a couple of paths and look at some aspects of that topic. And tonight we're talking about stress because there was a story in the New York Times and a couple of other publications about a recent Gallup poll talking about just how stressed out we all are here in this country. There was data, like a survey done around the world, and it really revealed that we're not doing so well here in the U.S. Stress is not distributed equally, certainly, but there's a lot going on. So who better to discuss that with than our special guest co-host, and that is Tiffany Seibert, who is here. She is the founder of COP2 Yoga, a program that brings mindfulness, meditation, and breathing to law enforcement prior to going out onto their shifts. So we have been talking about the impact of stress and what it's doing, and certainly a lot about law enforcement mental health, which is a topic that just is not being discussed enough. There's a lot there. That could be its own show, honestly. There's a lot going on there. But, you know, we got a couple messages as we were talking, Tiffany, about, okay, I'm not a cop, but I'm stressed. So what do I do? I don't have time to go to a yoga class. We got a couple of messages like that. So I want to speak to that. You know, you and I are both all in on yoga, both of us, and longtime totally. Listeners know that I also teach yoga. I love it. And I swear by it for all of its goodness. From your experience, Tiffany, if someone is like, I'm so stressed, I don't even know where to start. What advice would you have for them?
Breathe. That's it. Deep breathe. There are on my business cards that I give to my students, it's got three breath works on the back. So really, if you've got just a little bit of time to do something and you just want to do one thing, you need to long, deep breathe. And so that's breathing in and out through your nose, deep into the belly, chest, neck, head, all the way in, all the way up, and then all the way down. So long, deep breathing. It stops the production and flow of the stress hormones that flood your system during fight or flight, or when you're feeling just really stressed out. Mm-hmm. You know, so it activates the opposing parasympathetic nervous system to kick in, and right away on your second inhale, you are breathing deeper, and you're breathing less times per minute. It is lowering your heart rate, lowering the blood pressure, lowering the neurochemical activity that takes place, and it's increasing clarity, it's increasing focus, it's increasing a feeling of expansion and relaxation. So you're bringing calm, you're bringing connection. And that's what it is, you know. So you're a housewife, a busy housewife, and you're sitting in the kitchen. You're like, I don't have time for yoga. I don't have time for this. And which way do I go? And if you just sit down and do this for 90 seconds even, you know, you start to reap the benefit of it. My prescription there on the card is 3 minutes. So even if you can do that, that's great. Even 1 minute is great. That's just come down.
This is the best use of the back of a business card I've ever seen. I've long wondered, what in the heck do you put on the back of a business card?
What do you do there?
You've got three breathing exercises. That's brilliant. The back of my business card says, I put, we met at blank, and we talked about blank.
Remind me.
Because way people go, I found your card, but I don't remember who in the heck you are.
Exactly.
I'll fill it out and be like, you met me at WGN Radio.
That's a great thing. Yeah.
And then we talked about the following. And then people treat it like a homework assignment. They're like, oh, right, because I was going to send you my demo reel or my thing that I made or this company I started. Right. And then they do it, and it's great. So, but I think this trumps that because, you know, breathing is something that can help us all. And it's, again, we started talking about this prior to hearing from Paula, but I feel like people resist that because they're like, oh, that's just a bunch of hippie nonsense. I don't want to talk about that. That's so woo-woo. But it's so true. And there's science behind it that it, you know, as you were saying, it so quickly changes what's happening chemically within your body.
Yeah, right now is how that works. And I like it because every person, point to any person walking down the street, it's our biology. And it's how we work. I think part of the reason why it sounds kind of woo-woo is that we didn't really learn this when we were 4 or 5 years old. So it's not been a part of our everyday, a part of our own sort of culture. And as a result, it sounds unfamiliar. And so making the unfamiliar familiar is a great thing. And so if you're bringing this in, it's experiential as well. Mm-hmm. You can talk about it all day long. And the time that you've talked about it, you could have just been breathing and, you know, you're arguing with me. I had one of the police, truly the first time I did this, I'm sitting there in the roll call and so the lieutenant says, you know, we're going to go through a breath work. And so the officer sitting next to me, I said, so would you do a little bit of breathing, you know, with us? We're going to do some. I said, you know, you'd do that, right? And he's like, no. No, and I said, you're inhaling and exhaling anyway. So doing this, and, you know, the cops, they're talking to each other and saying, okay, wait, you didn't do that. You know what? I tried that, and it really worked. I feel so much better. So it's just like anybody.
A little peer validation never hurt.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Right, because, I mean, I get that, right? Like, you're coming in, not law enforcement.
Right.
Coming into the roll call meeting.
Yes.
And saying, hey, we're going to do this thing that's totally different than what you normally do.
Right.
And I don't know what happens in a roll call, but I watch a lot of Law and Order, so I got my guess, right?
It's like, Jones, here.
This is happening. Yeah. These are things we're looking for. This is a thing. There's an APB on something.
Yeah.
Sure, right.
And it's taking attendance as well. It is. It's roll call. Yeah.
So it's that, right?
It's that.
And then suddenly, let's just shift and have this moment.
Mm.
And I imagine, you know, any time we're asking humans to change their routine.
Right.
I mean, Facebook changed their font of their logo and the whole internet flipped out for like 3 weeks. I mean, come on.
Right.
We're asking people to change something. And something so personal as like what I'm doing with my body and breathing. Mm-hmm. I get that. I see that. So I think that peer validation is really important.
Yeah.
To have
and,
that.
And shifting... It's a bit of a tectonic shift in our culture to accept this sort of concept that isn't really a concept. It's how we work, but it's the awareness of it, bringing the awareness to this. And I think that's really powerful. And then having it, this work embraced is even better because I'm seeing people that I'm actually trying to help and it's working, you know? So it's super rewarding and it's work that pushes me outside my comfort zone every single time I do it.
I'm sure.
No matter what.
I'm sure. We're talking with our special guest co-host tonight. That is Tiffany Seibert. She's the founder of Cop to Yoga. You can go to Cop to Yoga, not the number, the word, T-O, coptoyoga.org, and you can read all about the organization. On the About page, there's a whole bunch of information that you're going to just love. It's really good. But I think most importantly, hit those videos on the front page of it. There's some really good stuff there that really talks you through exactly what's happening, what you're doing in the roll call that I think is really, really, really cool.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, the curriculum is on the, I want to say, the program page. So 1, 2, 3, there's the roll call that we do with the cops. There's also a Spotify playlist. So you can, you know, conjure up, just call chill. up one of these pieces, right?
And anyone can use that. And you know what?
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to tweet this page out because you're right. CoptiYoga.org/programs. The text on the back of your business card is right there. It's really good. It's got three breathing exercises, long deep breathing, left nostril breathing, and warrior breath. I'm telling you, if you are skeptical, do those three. Do one of those. You don't have to do all three. Just do one of them. And if you do not feel better, or at least if you don't feel worse,
right,
just try another. That's all I'm asking you. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just try one of those.
That's it.
Because that's a thing. You don't have to be in law enforcement. You can be going through anything. That's a thing. Everybody's always going through something.
Oh, yeah.
You never know what people are carrying. There's a lot of stress in the world. There's a lot of stuff just in our news. Even if your life's fine, there's just, you know, put the news on. You're like, oh, everything's falling apart. There's a shooting here and this is happening here. And this, you know, there's a lot. It's easy to be overwhelmed. So I get that. But try that. Go to CoptiYoga.org/programs and just try one of them on there and see how you feel. Because I'm telling you, you might think it's woo-woo, but I'm telling you, it will be great. So right now, though, it is 8:30. So let's go to news with David Jennings.
The winter storm warnings we had been under, gone. Downgraded to a winter weather advisory for the greater Chicago area. The snow expected to change to rain and end after midnight. Seattle's fire chief says four people are dead. A construction crane fell on the street, crushing two cars, and two Chicago police officers and two senior citizens had to go to the hospital after a fire early this afternoon in an apartment in a high-rise in the 3300 block of Lakeshore Drive. Sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Need more cream?
No, it's good, thanks. Probably time to start thinking about doing some spring cleaning around the house.
Yeah, and I'll clean up the backyard and the garage.
And I will restore the deck this Saturday.
Yeah, careful, weekend warrior. Remember last year?
Actually, you know what? I can take care of this right now. 1-800-956-DECK. There we go.
Make sure your deck is ready for everything that spring and summer have to offer with a visit from Deck Tech. Deck Tech cleans, heals, and protects your deck, restoring it to its natural beauty. For a free estimate, call 800-956-DECK or visit RestoreYourDeck.com. And for a limited time, receive a $75 discount when you mention this ad. Deck Tech, helping Chicagoland homeowners enjoy the great outdoors for over 25 years.
1-800-956-DECK.
Deck Tech.
1-800-956-DECK.
Deck Tech.
Call Deck Tech.
WGN Sports, the White Sox-Tigers game at Guaranteed Rate Field. That called off because of the weather. They're expected to play tomorrow. Pre-game at 12:35, first pitch at 1:10 with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson on 720 WGN. Cubs are in Arizona. They lead right now in the bottom of the third. The score right now is 5-0. In the NBA, the playoff game's underway right now. The 76ers trail the Raptors 96-83. They are in the fourth quarter. Still to come tonight will be the Nuggets hosting the San Antonio Spurs. In the NHL, the Stars beat the Blues 4-2. And in the second period, Boston leading the Blue Jackets 2-1. WGN traffic. On the Jane Addams, it is still closed by police activity. That's in both directions between Route 47 and U.S. 20. Also on the Jane Addams, just the after the South Beloit Toll Plaza, there is an accident reported that is leading to some delays. On 355, two left lanes still blocked heading north. And that's before you get to Roosevelt Road. And no major problems on the Kennedy, the Ike, or the Dan Ryan. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. The winter weather warning is gone. It is now a winter weather advisory. Windy, rain, snow, changing to all rain after midnight before it ends. Low tonight, 34. Sunshine, 46 tomorrow. Clouds tomorrow night. More rain overnight into Monday. Low 44. Cloudy, showers Monday. And the high near 50 degrees. 32, we've got light snow, fog, mist, and A little windy at O'Hare, 34 Midway, 33 in Tinley Park. Barometer, 29.86 and rising, 33 at the lakefront. Wind is kicking up. Gust up to 32 at O'Hare, 30 at Midway, and 29 at the lake. I'm David Jennings in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and these are the stories that matter on 720 WGN.
It's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. All those real good songs that you've been hearing tonight, that's all the doing of super producer Ro Coleman over there. I love it. Thank you. They fit beautifully with the theme tonight. We're talking about stress, but more importantly, how to outrun it, how to undo it. Because there, as I said earlier in the program, if you're a New York Times reader, you probably read a big story they had this week about a Gallup poll that reveals that Americans are more stressed than just about anyone on the earth, including people in very war-torn areas. People in very violent areas were still reporting more instances of very happy experiences than we were here in the U.S. There's a lot of overwhelm going on. So part of it is our lives are not quite simple enough. We have a lot going on, a lot coming at us. But no matter the cause, the important part is what we do about that. What can we do? Because it's literally killing us. We have a lot of illnesses. We have, you know, the medical community agrees there's stuff that happens to our bodies when we're under a lot of stress, including a weakened immune system. We get headaches. We're stressed out. We don't look as fabulous because our brows are all squunched together, making the 11s between our eyebrows. You know, there's all those things. And I'm guilty of that myself. You know, when I'm stressed because I got the 11s between the eyebrows because my brows are all squished together. It's true. We're all guilty of it in different levels and different ways. And as we've been saying tonight, stress is not distributed equally to everyone. Some people have very different situations than others. And yet it's a constant in all of our lives. And we can all do something about it. And it doesn't need to cost a thing. So our guest co-host tonight is Tiffany Seibert, who is the founder of Cop to Yoga. We've been talking a lot about mental health in the law enforcement and first responder community and professions that have really, really high stress. And we brought that out a little bit right before the news, talking just about how breathing and breathing exercises. They're on the website. They're coptoyoga.org/programs. There are three super easy, totally free things that anyone can do. They're fast. One's 3 minutes, and then the other two are 2 minutes each. Super easy. Anyone can do them. And that will just help relax your parasympathetic nervous system. It'll lower your blood pressure, all this stuff. It will start almost immediately. So I highly recommend that. But, you know, there's people that don't want to sit still, Tiffany. There's, you know, people are like, I don't know. I get too restless. You'll get there. That's right. Probably a sign that you're stressed, you know. But, you know, I think there are people that like a more active, you know, physically active approach to sure. their de-stressing. You know, both of us are big yoga devotees. We've spent a lot of time and energy around yoga and giving yoga to others. But I think the physical part of that we haven't talked too much about. We've been talking about the kind of the emotional and mental parts of and where breathing gets you. But you know, there are so many ways to relieve stress. And I think it's so important to find your own. If it's not yoga, that's fine. We won't be mad.
Right. We won't.
I don't understand you, but we won't be mad. You know, but I think some people just like to just run like crazy against the, you know, out on the lake. Just right. run and go for it and do the thing. Some people just want to go dance, do the thing. And that's fine. I think it's just a matter of like finding the thing that speaks to you.
Exactly. And I've got my hand up. I'm a pure bar junkie. No doubt about it. That is the exercise that I do.
That's hard.
It is hard.
It's real hard. I went in like, I'm in pretty good shape. I can do this. Oh my God, this is hard.
Yeah, it is. But it's a challenge every single time. And, you know, it's different. It's something that I look forward to. Mm-hmm. But I also look forward to sitting down. And, you know, when you say, okay, I've got a meditation practice. You know, every day is different. There are some days that you kind of can't get to it. And that's true for anybody. So these exercises represent something that you can do that's going to address your stress. But I do think it's important, at least for me, that I'm doing something that's pretty hardcore physical. Mm-hmm. And whether it's a bar class or a level 3 vinyasa class, mm-hmm. Something that that really gets you moving, that pushes you a little bit, and that you just feel good after that.
Sure.
You know?
You know, one of mine is Krav Maga. It's a really violent defense system.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes there's just something really satisfying about punching a willing stranger. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
You know?
Well, you
of
know.
Like, and then you go back to yoga and it's all good.
And all
beings are fine and I respect their space. But then on Tuesday nights, I'm going to go punch a stranger. And that's fine. It's not my everyday activity, but sometimes it's really good to just, I need to get some aggression out
exactly.
And go for it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of aggression these days, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, all it takes is just a few little pieces of news and you are just lathered up.
It's true.
It's true.
And again, you know, stress is not distributed equally. You know, a phrase I've really push back on a lot is when people say, oh, when I watch the news, I can't even.
Right.
You know, especially if that person speaking is maybe not from a marginalized group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, well, hey, there's people on the earth that want some of us dead, whether or not I can even. So some people don't get the option of can evening, you know. So I think, you know, even our language, I think we could, it's tough, right? Because on one hand, you need to care for yourself and you need to say, hey, I need a break from social media.
Right.
Hey, I need to not look at news today. I'm having a media fast. I'm not going to look at this. But also, I think it's important to recognize that it's not everyone can hang it up. Not everyone has the privilege and ability to say, well, I get to not care about this today.
Right.
You know, and that could be by profession. That could be by race or gender or religion, or that could be a lot of different things. But I think that's important for us to realize that, too, when we're thinking about stress and how, I mean, the outward world, even if like your life's fine, but there's stuff out in the world, or watching the news and things that are being said and the sound bites that reach us and incidents that happen, right? If it's going to impact someone from a group differently than it can impact you, you know, for sure, no matter who you are, you can say, hey, this horrible thing that happened to this group is terrible. But I think that's important too, to recognize that, you know, we feel it differently when it's your own community. It's very different when you don't have the option of saying, well, I'm going to turn the TV off, you know,
right?
That's very different.
It is different. And we've got this 24-hour news cycle now.
Oh, sure. Tell me. I know. I'm surrounded right now. 8 screens around me right now. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I find that if I read the news, it hits me differently. It hits me in a different place in my body, in my mind, in my brain. And I don't feel as agitated, because there's an awful lot to get just agitated about.
Sure.
You know? The things that, you know, just are norms and language, like you said, it's so powerful. And it's so critical that we are aware of that and aware of what we say, how we say it, our tone, the words we use, you know, so, and all of those are a choice, and slowing down to kind of use the right words to describe things instead of saying, oh, this is insane. Oh, this is crazy. Oh, this is too much. It's always, you know.
That's really, I mean, that alone could be its own show. That
right.
I think about that. I push back on the idea of like busyness culture.
Yeah.
Because I think we've touched on this a little tonight. We so prize it being a normal thing. When you say, hey, how are you? Good to see you. If someone answers by saying, oh, I'm crazy busy.
Right.
What's the matter with it? What are we doing to ourselves that's completely normal?
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah. I recently ran into someone who had, I say recently, it's already been a few months, but I ran into her and she had been on vacation for a while, and it was a vacation she saved for a long time. Not a wealthy person, but she was like, I'm saving for this. It's my dream. I want to take the full 2 weeks off that I'm given every year, because I've never taken the vacation. And it was such a novelty. And she said, you know, leading up to it, her colleagues were giving her a lot of grief. Oh, must be nice to be able to afford it. She was, guys, I've been saving for this for 6 years. Like, but don't give me grief. I have this vacation.
Yeah.
Don't give me grief for taking it. And then she said, she came back and she said, that was life changing. She hadn't had vacation in so long and she hadn't taken it, and she had saved and saved. And she, you know, she said, I came back and it was almost like being shocked when I came back to, gosh, was I in it this deeply? And she said, it took her about 5 days to kind of get out of it a little bit. And I'll tell a quick story of a stress thing that happened to me that really opened my eyes about the impact of stress and always being plugged in. A few years ago, dealing with a bunch of papers and a bunch of stuff that were falling, and I was trying to catch them while at work. I scratched my eye.
Oh, worst.
And it hurt terribly. And I, at the time, there was a Pearle Vision across the street from Tribune Tower. I scurried over there, and I was like, I have done something terrible to my eye. And they took a look at it and said, get in a cab, go to this place further down Michigan Avenue. You've scratched your cornea.
And I've done it. It's
so bad.
The worst.
So basically, long story short, this eye doctor said to me, you need to not look at screens and not be under a fluorescent light for at least 48 hours.
Right.
And I was like, yay, let me tell you what my job is. And he was like, no, listen, this is like breaking your elbow and trying to do bicep curls. Even if the screen is still, if it's not a video or whatever, your eyes are constantly... There is movement. We just can't perceive it. Like when you see a television or a computer screen on TV, when it's on the news, right. You can see that it's moving. Our eyes are always like moving to correct that for that a little bit. So he's like, and this guy had been practicing for a long time. He's like, I'm seeing people in their 40s coming in with the eye problems that I used to not see until 60s and 70s.
Right.
These screens are really killing you. So in the 48 hours, very difficult. The first 6 hours, I was absolutely climbing the walls because I didn't realize how dependent I was on screens. And then after about 6 hours, it felt like my brain flipped gears. And I got a piece of paper and I was like, well, these are the things I'm going to Google later when I can look at screens again. These are things I'm going to tweet. And I was like writing all this stuff down. And suddenly I had all these good ideas and I was like, what just happened to my brain? And I slept that night better than I probably slept in a decade.
Wow.
And that was really important to me. I can't say I always live by that, but I'm always like, okay, that meant something. Don't lose sight of that.
Yeah.
That it's not, you don't just have to work in a high stress environment. You don't have to be a first responder. You don't have to be in law enforcement. You can just be around screens a lot and be inundated with information and still have, even if you're not feeling like high stress or like the weight of a negative emotion, I think there's still a lot around us culturally of just like having, we don't have a lot of space. We don't build in space and we don't seem to prize space. So again, I'm going to refer people to the breathing exercises on your website because that's about space. That's making space, even just a couple of minutes at a time. We're going to take a little break and we come back. We're going to wrap things up. We've been talking with Tiffany Seibert, who is the founder of Cop to Yoga. And again, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to be sharing links to that organization and all the cool things that they do. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for tuning in on this rather drizzly and chilly, unexpectedly drizzly and chilly day, I should say. I appreciate you sharing your Saturday evening with me. Thanks for your messages and your tweets and all that good stuff. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Amy Guth. And we have a special guest co-host that's been with us tonight. That's Tiffany Seibert, who is the founder of Cop to Yoga. You can read all about this organization at coptoyoga.org. Especially, I encourage anyone, you don't even have to be in a high stress job. You can just be stressed out about life. Head to the page called Programs on the Cop to Yoga site. There's some cool breathing exercises that will help bring down your blood pressure, lower the heart rate, help us all chill out a little bit, because that's what tonight's show has been all about. It's like there is stress. There is a lot of data out there talking about the impact of stress on our lives. And we got to, no matter the cause, we got to fix it. We got to work it out. So Tiffany, tell us, in that we don't have a ton of time left. We're about to turn things over to John Hansen, who's in tonight for Dave Hoekstra. But tell us about what is coming up for Cop to Yoga and all that good stuff, where people can find out more. I know a lot of listeners tonight are curious. They've been sending some messages about how they can get involved. So tell us all that, if you would.
Oh, that's great news. Go to coptoyoga.org. On any page, you can leave us a message, and I will get back to you. What we're looking for is volunteer teachers, certainly, and we join volunteer teachers in their respective districts. So it's very much a community action type of initiative.
So people will teach in the community, in their own precinct?
In their own district. Okay. Yeah. As a primary, if that district is not available, or they're saying, you know, I'll go work in this other district, I'm happy to do that. Well, that's great, you know, because at this point, I'm doing most of the teaching. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's only one of you.
And there is only one of me. There is only one.
And we don't want
me.
To stress you out to unstress everyone else.
I know. I was like, I really need this.
And so are all of your instructors, are they all yoga teachers or not necessarily?
They are.
They are. Okay.
Yeah. And I want to say extremely accomplished, you know, more than me. So it's really great. So I feel kind of like a manager. And that's what we're doing now. We're nonprofit, so what we're looking for is, you know, just the support from the community, from corporate America, from anybody who wants more peace to be with us and to join the peace force, not only just as a volunteer teacher, but there are people that have other talents that they are volunteering, you know. And that's really important, you know, graphic design, technology.
Sure.
Program management, administrative work. I had somebody call me today that said he wanted to play pan drums at one of the sessions. Well, that's perfect. So we're setting up a Saturday night midnight shift to go have the live music instead of just I'm playing music on my speaker, you know, on Spotify. So we're trying to do a lot of different things. We've got some stuff coming up. We'll be on David Edward Sims' radio show, DePaul, on May 19th. We're actually in the new Yoga Chicago, which is great because they've been following our progress and reporting mm-hmm. on it. But really, in the last 6 months, we've grown from 3 districts to 14 districts. And so it's so rapid. So we're really trying to stay in front of it and continue to just do innovation as we can. There's a doctor that wants to join us. He's my family doctor who's like, look, I'm trying to get a meditation program started in my son's school. I will sit on a panel and discuss and talk to the community about the medical evidence behind why this works.
I think that's so important.
It
because
is.
I think it's easy to dismiss like, yoga, meditation,
right.
That's a bunch of woo-woo nonsense.
Right.
But when you have medical professionals and you have people from the medical community and the scientific community saying, no, this is what happens.
Yes.
This is the process in your body chemically that will happen.
Indeed.
To chill you out as opposed to harm you because
right.
stress is really, you know, no matter what form it takes and no matter what level of stress you've got going in your life, stress is a part of our modern lives and it's not doing anyone any favors. Let's think about it. Stress is in our body to help us outrun saber-toothed tigers. That's
right,
what it's
right.
for. It's
old
to help
brain
us.
Stuff. Yeah.
Right. We don't need that anymore. So, you
right.
know, it's easy to perceive everything like a
yeah.
threat and everything to seem so dangerous.
Well, this is kind of life up level, right?
Yeah.
As we become aware of our own power and our own resources and we're able to call on them.
Yeah.
To help ourselves. What a great thing to feel like you know what to do for yourself, to make yourself feel better, you know?
Absolutely.
It's
huge. And that, you know, I love the, again, I'm so loving this part of your website, coptyoga.org/programs, with it, and it's the text from the back of your business card, which again, I think is the coolest use of the back of a business card. And it's 3 breathing exercises. They're easy. They're free.
They're free.
Anyone can do them.
Yeah.
The longest one takes 3 minutes.
Exactly.
That, it may not be much. It may not seem like much, but...
Right.
Why not put yourself in the best possible position to outrun the stress? And so all the things we've been talking about tonight, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to be tweeting them out and sharing them. And as the clock is ticking down, we're joined by John Hansen. Hello.
Happy Saturday night.
Happy Saturday night.
What
I haven't been
gorgeous...
in the studio with you in ages.
No, I don't think so.
It's been a minute.
Not since we moved over here. It's so good to see you again, Amy.
Good to see you. We've been talking about stress and how to outdo it, how
you know,
to outrun it.
It's funny because, you know, you've been talking about stress, but I think you have one of the least stressful voices that
Thank
I don't
you.
Think hearing you, even when you talk about the most stressful things in the world, one can feel stress.
I appreciate that.
But yeah, we are an overstretched culture or whatever. What more can you say? I've been listening about it. I mean, I just wish there was a way. I think part of us love stress in a way. Like we strive for some anxiety. I know I like rushing around. I like that feeling sometimes, but I don't really think about the harm it really does to your body. And then there's obviously the unnecessary and added stresses on top of things. So it's a fascinating topic. And just even think about biologically what it does to you and what our bodies are not ready for and
or no longer need to be doing. Because as I was just saying, we're no longer running away from dinosaurs and saber-toothed tigers. We're good.
Right, but we like to work ourselves up into that sort of fervor, it seems like.
Oh, the wrong Slack message can like ruin your day.
Yes, right?
You're just like, someone sent me a tweet I don't like.
Right, and I think that, you know, obviously, you know, and we're a culture, especially here in America, where we take so few vacation days compared to the rest of the world.
Right.
the Western world, the numbers are so low compared to that. I mean, I just, I wish there was a way culturally for us to kind of make those changes. And yeah. I guess that's what you're doing tonight. So
I'm trying.
Are we done? Did we do it?
I don't know. I got to go outside.
I'm stressed wondering whether we did it or not. So
I got to go outside and find out. Well, certainly we've been having a lot of great conversation. We talked earlier tonight with Paula Harper, who's a therapist, about a lot that we could be doing. But I think both of my guests here have come to the same conclusion. And that was, it's all about breathing. That's the best thing we can do for ourselves. We're not doing that enough, and we're depriving our brains of oxygen. We're letting our systems flood with all these dangerous chemicals. We're freaking out.
I'm also glad, and this has come up in a few recent topics here on WGN, but also WCIU, and nationally we're all having these conversations too. Just the stigma of like mental health going away, and I mean, not quite all the way there yet, but the conversations that need to be had, the idea of just talking to someone professionally about issues and making that part of your regular, you know, health outlook. You know, it's not necessarily mental health. It's just health. Let's just bulk it all together as one sort of thing, whether it's physical or mental.
Yeah.
And just being able to, like, talk with your girlfriends or your boyfriends and be like, yeah, I went out and I'm talking to so-and-so. I went to my therapist just off the cuff.
Sure.
Just bring it into conversation. It's okay. And that can help kind of break down those stigmas, too. Is certainly helpful.
Yeah, and tonight we've spent so much time talking about mental health stigma in really high stakes professions, in particular here from cop to yoga, and talking about first responders, the medical community, where people are military, you know, regularly exposed to trauma. I think that's so important that we, you know, it's not about weakness. It's not like, listen, everybody I know could benefit from therapy right this second.
Right. You know, both my brothers are firefighters. My dad's a fire chief. I come from a family of police officers, too. And the stories that they tell around the dinner table, I don't know how they have the jobs that they do. The stories that they bring home. And I'm glad they're able to talk about even the most horrifying things. And also, they find light and humor wherever they can to try and make things. I mean, it seems strange to us that aren't in those professions how they can find any humor in any of these situations. But I feel like it's a coping mechanism for them. But I'm glad that some of that stigma is going away for those professionals. I just wish that as a country, especially even here locally in Illinois and, of course, in Chicago, we put our money where our mouth is. If this is something we really want to work on, we need to be okay with tax hikes that are going to go towards mental health issues in the city. Because for all of us, I mean, we say, oh, it's great how anyone, you know, everyone should be able to go see a therapist and be able to talk through things. But a lot of people don't have that luxury. A lot of people are pinching pennies or don't have the insurance abilities or don't have the centers in their communities that can do this.
Certain mental health facilities get closed down in communities that need them, and
So if we're really committed to this, it's going to take more than just talking about it.
You just said one of the three magic topics that will get all the callers.
Okay.
Tax hike.
Oh yes.
The other one is dibs. Parking.